Our first meeting, and to those who have joined us, good morning to you. And as Harold said, we're really glad to be here, and we're certainly glad that you are here with us. If you've brought a Bible along with you, I'm going to invite you to turn it to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter number 5. Romans chapter 5, this portion of the Word of God, as all of the Word of God, has been, we call it, inspired by God himself. That means God put into the minds of the men who were doing the writing what to write. Didn't tell them every word distinctly, but he would use their life, their mannerisms, some of their behaviors, and that would all come through, but it's the Word of God. So when we read the Word of God, we understand that it's a message from God himself. And we can have confidence in what this is telling us. So as we read it this morning, I want that to be evident in our lives. That's very important. Sometimes even people who have known the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior for many years, something comes along and causes them maybe to just be a little suspicious or a little doubtful of what God is saying in his word. Could it be true? And it's important that as a believer, and if you're an unbeliever here this morning, someone who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, or for those on Zoom, that we trust what God says to us in his word. It's very, very important to us, for that is certainly our defense. So let's read, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we've read. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1. I'm reading from what we call the authorized version. It's a little older style English type language, but that's just what I've become comfortable with and what I was raised on. So if you want a little different version, that's okay too. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we'll end our reading there. And we do believe and ask that God will bless the reading, the public reading of his holy word. Many years ago, when I was much younger and was doing some outreach work with the sketchboard in the outdoors, there was a story that we would articulate in paint form. And the paint and the words used were simply to attract attention so that people would listen to what we were trying to share with them. One of those stories, and I seem to think it was true, but I can't rely upon that, but it will illustrate for us part of what we want to see here this morning. There's two brothers who were twins, identical twins. One was perhaps better living than the other, for one was involved in the gangs on the streets, involved in stealing and this kind of thing, and the other young man had a job and worked to provide for he and his brother, who were alone. Their family had since deceased. And one evening, the brother who was not so good, we will say, was out and about doing what they do on the streets, and he killed someone. He used a knife, took their life, and of course then was guilty of murder. He went home to the apartment that he and his brother shared, and he had blood on his coat, and he hid that in the closet, and he went off out of the apartment. Well, someone who had recognized the brother who had done this terrible thing contacted the authorities, and the authorities, of course, came to the apartment. They knocked on the door, and they said, we're looking for so-and-so, and his brother, having previously seen the blood-stained jacket, clothing in the closet, and being an identical twin and loving dearly his other brother, put on the clothing and identified himself as the one at whom they were looking for. They were twins. Well, you know what happens in such these cases. In Canada, we call them open and shut cases. Guilty. The evidence is all there. It's easy for the jury to come to a decision, and the judge sentenced that time in life to death. And the brother, who was innocent, gave up his life willingly for the life of his brother. When the brother who was guilty heard of this, he was devastated. My voice almost changes just thinking that someone would do this for another. And he went to the judge who had convicted his now deceased brother, and he said, I'm the one. Those were my clothes. That was the charge that was to be laid against me. I was guilty of that crime, and therefore I should pay the penalty, which is death. What a place for the judge to be put into. I don't know if he had to look at his law books and consider what was going on or how he could handle it, but this is the decision he came to. Brother, guilty brother, you are free to go, because the price that the legal system or the law required for that charge, murder, has already been paid. Your brother gave his life. Now, we can't take your life as well, even though you are guilty. And so he was free to live. Whether story or whether true, it illustrates for us what we see in this first verse that we read here in Romans chapter 5. I'm not sure in your translation, but as I read for you from the King James Authorized Version, there is this phrase, therefore being justified. I'd like to use that story to illustrate for you at least a piece of what that actually means. You see, when it comes to sin, and it comes to the sinner, it comes to the one who can forgive sins, and it comes to the one for whom sin is against. So sin, those things which are done opposite to God, or opposite to who God is, we would say contrary to his nature, the glory of God, the Bible uses it that way. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Missed the mark. I don't know where you grew up or where you reside now. There's a lot of archery goes on, but it's bows and arrows, right? And when I grew up, there was all kinds of cowboy movies, and it would be bows and arrows being shot and that type of thing. And up at the camp at Morningstar Bible Camp now, they have an archery program. And they teach children to take a bow and an arrow, and they illustrate the teachings of the Lord Jesus with it, and they shoot at a target. Now, in the center of that target, there is what we call a bullseye. It's a round mark, whatever color it is. It's right in the middle. And there's one area that's right in the middle. That's where they're aiming for. We can use that to illustrate how we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark, because the mark is perfection. Holiness. That's who God is. That's what He is. And God cannot, as much as we would like to think He could, He kind of separate Himself from who He is. We call them the attributes of God, who He is, what He is. And people would like to say and believe, and they should believe, that God is a God of love. Is God a God of love? Absolutely. In fact, without God, we would never know what love is. We've read about it here. God commends, He demonstrates His love toward us. And people would like to think that God can be a God of love, but He doesn't have to be a God of justice. That's a little bit about what this word justification means. Comes into the area. When that judge declared and executed the sentence upon that brother or that man, he was executing justice. The law said, you take a life, your life is taken. God's law, God's character, says that the wages or the payment of sin is death. People would like to think that the God of love can say, well, I'm so loving that I don't have to worry about the justice side. A dear brother once told the story of a family who was devastated by the loss of their daughter, had been killed in a car accident. Someone who had been consuming alcohol, had been driving a motor vehicle, had hit their daughter. She was innocent. She was just in the crosswalk. Sure, life was gone. And as he went before the judge, there was a technicality in the law. Somehow the legal system, the lawyer that was representing him, was able to get him off with a reduced sentence, very little jail time. Is that justice? Does that seem right? We said, no. It's absolutely wrong. If it were your daughter or your sister, your mom or your dad, we said, that's wrong. Well, it's a little bit like that with God, when His holy character has had sin or a sin against Him, there has to be justice. There has to be. God just can't lay it aside. That's important to know. It's important to appreciate. As much as God is a God of love, He is a just God. So therefore, going back to the verse, therefore being justified by faith, we could say this or that. This is where God, as judge, because of sin against Him, we've missed the mark. That's what we've, right? All have sinned. We mentioned that verse that's earlier in Romans. We've all missed the mark. We've all become sinners as a result of that. We're sinners by birth, we're told. You see, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Understand? We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Born in sin. God as judge, acting against this sin, can declare us not guilty. The text tells us, the Bible tells us, therefore being justified by faith. So God as judge declares, drops the gavel, we might say, in the courtroom of God and says, guilty sinner, not guilty. Now the question must be asked. Is that justice? Can God do that and still be holy? True to his word, true to his character, all of the other ways we could describe it, it must be so. Because God cannot cease to be who he is. So how is this done? Well, let's read on a little further. Therefore, being justified by faith. Well, faith is a confidence in, isn't it? Let me try and illustrate it for you this morning. The seat that you are comfortably resting your weight in right at this moment, do you have faith in that seat? And from a quick view across the audience in front of me, it seems that everybody is pretty comfortable in the seat they're in there. You know, we have some who are like myself, who would put on the back of the seat, and some would, like myself, would sit like this, and others who would be maybe doing some things around, whatever the case might be. Doesn't matter. I don't draw attention to that. But you are putting your absolute entire weight in the seat you're in. If you weren't, you'd be carrying some weight in your legs, wouldn't you? You'd be moving ahead in the front of the seat. That's the first thing you do if you think it's not going to hold you. We illustrated at camp one time by taking all the screws out of the seat. It's one of the most chairs put together, and we would bring it up. Well, let me illustrate it for you, not when we did at camp, but what I'm trying to tell you. And the chair was all wiggly and loose. We showed that to the children. Then we asked somebody to sit in it. What would you do if you were the child? Anybody see that I'm going to fall and wait on the legs? Because I don't have confidence in the chair. I don't put my faith in it. So in our verse, we have therefore being justified, declared guilt not guilty by faith. Some said, well, I have faith. You see, it doesn't matter what you have faith in. It's the quality of your faith, or the quantity of your faith. Just like when I'm seated at a meeting, when I go to a meeting, I go to 16th, and I have confidence that what they're telling me is true. And I trust the fact that the Bible is true. That's my faith. Well, it's all well and good that is, you put your confidence up, but that's not what it's talking about here. Justification, we understand, comes by faith. And if we were to go to the book of Ephesians, another letter in the New Testament, written by the same man and by the same God, of course, we would find that our salvation, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. That not of yourselves, this is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So now we have this other word to us. We have justification, or justified here. Holy God declaring a guilty sinner not guilty. Sometimes we use the little phrase for children, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Good way to remember it. Not all there, but good way to remember it. We have faith, a confidence in, a trust, an absolute trust. Now in Ephesians, we quoted that verse, we have grace. Grace is simply put God's unmerited favor. It means nobody deserved it. Nobody deserves the grace of God. And we find that now the confidence that is here, this faith and trust, must be in the grace of God. For it's by grace we are saved through faith. So if we were to ask the question, how does the guilty sinner who has offended a holy God ever expect to get into his presence? It's by putting your absolute confidence in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? Not what does the word mean, but what is that grace? Well, we could go to another verse in the Bible, in the book called Titus, and it would say the grace of God has appeared to all men. Okay. It speaks of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll not say anything more about that. There's all kinds of verses, but that's the grace of God. When he came, it's not only that he came into the world, but that he laid down his life. He gave up his own life. Remember the brother who gave up the life for his brother? Our text this morning said, scarce before a righteous man would one die. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What is the result of that life? Or that death? Well, that life, death, burial, and resurrection. I would use the thoughts of another to give us just a few things that we find in this text that we've read this morning. I think we can see here five things everybody wants. I talked to a lovely lady here between the meetings. Jean, I think she told me her name. She was excited about the Word of God, and she was very, very gracious to me, we talked, and there was a challenge. There was a bit of a language barrier, right? She speaks good English. I don't speak good Chinese. In fact, I speak no Chinese, which I'm going to assume that lots of you, dear folks, you're speaking other languages than I do. So sometimes there's a language barrier in some things. But what we're going to talk about, it goes right across all the barriers of language. And with language barriers often means a different upbringing or a different place in the world, maybe, or a different class. We call them classes of where we grow up. Doesn't matter. These things everybody wants. Let's read or let's pick them up in our passage. In the Bible, the Word of God. Now, I remember saying first, we need to have absolute trust and confidence in what this tells us. Therefore, being justified by faith. I hope I made that clear. God can declare us not guilty of our sins because of us having put our faith and trust and confidence in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who in his grace, coming, died. He took the penalty. Didn't wash it under the carpet or push it under the carpet, which is an expression we have. He didn't hide it. He dealt with it. Now, the result of that, one of the things we're longing for is what the Bible now is going to call peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Now, it's one thing for you and I to have peace. You know, I know all of you, sorry, I know most of you, not at all. I know some of you very little. We're kind of at peace, aren't we? Like, nobody is too much upset that I'm here, I don't think. Nobody's, well, maybe there's somebody outside waiting for me when I leave, we'll find that out at the time, but for the most part, we're living in harmony. Peace. But greater than that piece is what the Bible here is going to talk about. The Apostle Paul, who's the author of this, one of the men who's seen the Lord Jesus, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, remember we said that God is holy? We didn't say some of the other things. He's righteous. He is separate from sin. He dwells in light. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, he dwells in light, which no man can approach onto in his natural state. That's how clean and pure and holy, separate from sin. What other words could we use to describe? I hope I'm giving you a good picture of who God is. And then the Bible tells us in another place that we are enemies. Well, it told us here, didn't it? God commendeth his love toward us. His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. If we had read a little further, it would have said, for if when we were enemies. And in our state of unbelief and not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we are enemies with God. Because we've said this, the sacrifice of your Son is of no interest to me. Let's go back to our two brothers. And the brother learns, the guilty brother learns of his innocent brother's death, and he says, what was? Missed a close one there. Good job I wasn't home. Good job there's no DNA testing these days. What other things could he say? And he walks out and he meets the judge on the street, just by chance. The judge tells him the story. He said, we know it was you. Somebody else came along and says, no, you've killed the wrong person. We know it. Hey, that's great that it's over and done with. Great that I didn't get caught. Which one of us would have any regard for the brother that was guilty, alive, and unthankful? That story illustrates for us, well, we would just look at it and say, that is terrible. How much worse? Now, I remember the meeting here, and he says, you got to go out of your way. Trust the Lord in the sense, you got to go out of your way. It's not just by being here. It's not just by being born into this world and created by God enough to just say, well, that's it. We got to go out of our way and say, thank you, Lord. And understand and appreciate that when he died on the cross, he died bearing my sin. And your sin. Everybody's looking for peace. How do you have peace? How do you put your head on the pillow at night and close your eyes knowing that if you don't wake up, if the life comes out of your body, as it does, you know, there's a very, very strong statistic in the world, and a very sobering or solemn statistic in the world. One out of one dies. Anybody want to dispute that one? It's just a matter of time, isn't it? A couple of exceptions. Couple of translations, as far as translated up into heaven, a couple of men who went without dying. One out of one dies, and it's something nobody wants to talk about. Lay your head on your pillow at night in absolute peace and confidence that you are right, not with the world. Friendship with the world, the Bible tells us, is envy or hatred with God. A are great with God. You want peace today? Come to you. Peace with God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified by grace, or justified by faith through grace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we'll skip one and we'll pick up another one. We'll go to verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. There's access here. Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You know, everybody's looking for certain hope. Here is what the world tells you, and I don't care what part of the world you reside in, or you were born in, or you want to go to, or whatever. Hope, the world says, and I sure hope it comes to pass. It's kind of the wishy-washy of, could it be so? Is it some magical thing? Can I make it happen? I hope so. Let me ask you a question this morning. When you pass and become part of that statistic that I just mentioned to you, one out of one passing from this life into the next, do you hope to be in heaven? Meaning, I hope so, as the world defines it. That's not hope in the Bible. Notice what I said when we talked about hope. It says, and rejoice in hope, certain hope of the glory of God, that when one day I pass from this life onto the next, I have absolute confidence I will see God in all of his glory. You might say absolute arrogance. I like to try and raise the eyebrows of some people sometimes by telling them this. You are looking at someone who is the possessor of eternal life. I don't see too many eyebrows move, so maybe you all know that. That's great. I will live forever. Oh, my body might die. This body that is made up of dust of the ground, the Bible tells us, it will return to dust in the ground. But the real me, the soul, the spirit, will live forever in certain hope of seeing the glory of God. We're all longing for peace. We're all looking for peace. There is peace to be had with God this morning through the Lord Jesus. Now, not only is there peace to be had with the Lord Jesus, for the unbeliever, there's that great establishment of peace in your heart because of the Lord Jesus in your life. Paul talks about it, the author of this area, the author of the Bible, in another book called the Philippians, letters of the Philippians, he would say, the peace of God which passes all understanding. If you're a believer here this morning, you can live in the reality of that. The fact it's real doesn't change. But your living in it does. Your confidence in it. And hope. That certain hope. Everybody's looking for a certain hope after death. Some want to come back to this world again through the religions of different things and try it over again. Oh my. If that is your background or your belief, I'll pray for you. Others want to believe that when we die, we just go into the ground and that's the end of it. My father-in-law had someone come and sit at his kitchen table. And he was an unbeliever, and this man was trying to get him to be a believer. And when I say unbeliever, I mean a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who was truly saved and born again. And he said, now listen, Jim, And this man was a false teacher. He said, you're just like the dove, you're just like one of your cows. You die, you're just going into the ground. That man, that's what he wanted desperately, just for what it was done, annihilation, just to be all over. My father-in-law gloriously at that point would say, it can't be like that. And he'd get in, he'd open the Bible. He said, that's not what the Bible says. He found the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has and had peace with God, and he had certain hope, and when he breathed his last, there was just this calm assurance. A couple of the other things you want in life, were, our time is gone, but it comes up in verse number 3, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Everybody wants to make sense of their troubles. Why is there tribulation? Why are there troubles? Well, if you read through those verses and look at how it works out, there's a reason for trouble. For tribulation, you see, it works patience. Patience works as experience. Experience works as a hope. And hope makes not ashamed, and so on. It's growing in your life. And the last one we'll mention here this morning, which is perhaps at the top of the list, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, for when we were yet without strength, you and I had nothing to afford, nothing to offer, nothing we could give. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Everybody's looking for unconditional love. Just love me. You can go to the world and find people who feel so unloved. Maybe you're here this morning. God so loved the world. Is that what's on the wall behind me? And he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in him might not or shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that life, that love is unconditional. And it's based upon being justified by faith. We have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you clarity to understand and conviction to act upon before you become one of those statistics. Young or old, we see lots of young people, and in this day when we have this disease around us, or this problem of COVID, and it's affecting young people and old alike. If you don't have peace with God, if you don't have certain hope, if you aren't the recipient and you understand this unconditional love, to understand your trials, come to the scriptures. Take some time. Read through them. Trust what they tell you to be so. Put your faith and trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for death and for life. May he be glorified in your life today, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for an opportunity again to read from your word. To be able to be hearers of the word. Now, Father, we ask that we would be those who, as we've heard, as we've talked about, we would digest it, and Father, we would then act on what we know. Thank you for your Spirit, which guides us into all truth. And Father, we ask your blessing upon these folks gathered here today, for we ask it in the worthy name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.